Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My special guests in the studio today are Elaine McKenna Yao, the new, well, relatively new, Executive Director of the Worcester Center for Crafts, and Tom O'Malley. It's always a pleasure to have you down, Tom.
Good to see you, Mark.
Yeah, the Ceramics and Photography Department Head at the Worcester Center for Crafts. Elaine, welcome on board.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Is this your first time in Worcester?
It is.
Oh, my God. So, where did you live before?
So, I still live in Rhode Island, and I'm commuting.
What part of Rhode Island?
So
I'm always fascinated
Patuxent
by Rhode
Village
Island, by the way.
Is a shared village with two cities outside of Providence,
okay,
south
yeah.
of Providence. So
I never understood the village thing in Rhode Island. It's
yeah.
very weird. Like Burlville has got all these
yes,
villages. Yeah,
we
yeah.
like our villages.
The whole state's a village,
yes,
really.
It really is one large village or small village, actually.
And its state drink is coffee milk. Mm-hmm. Welcome aboard. And what were the challenges that you, as soon as you got on board, what were the challenges for you in the Worcester Center for Crafts? Like, how did you think about the institution as you came on board?
Well, it's been actually a very exciting move for me. I was running a visual and performing arts center in Rhode Island. So
nice.
Coming here had similarities in terms of.
So it's a good fit.
It's a good fit. But the Worcester Center for Crafts, everything is much bigger. So the ceramic studio is much bigger and has much more to offer, the glass studio as well and the metal studio. So it was, you know, everything's a little bigger here. And so we're just trying to move things along. It's already running very well. So now it's just a matter of kind of the next steps.
It is amazing. The history of the Worcester Center for Crafts, and Tom can address that more, has really been in the last 10 years. It's really gone through the roof. It's really changed and it's become a place to go to see shows, first of all. And that never was that true before.
Yeah, I think that's very right.
The classes were always on.
The classes were always on. I think the gallery has really come forward in terms of public awareness.
We're talking about the Krikorian Gallery.
Yeah, the Krikorian Gallery. And, you know, the fact that these shows make statements that come
they
out
do.
Of our traditions of craft and also connect with our community, or at least that's one of our goals.
But the one thing I've learned from your shows is that the definition of craft versus art, is that sort of a useless distinction anymore? Elaine?
For me coming in, it was, you know, some people do make that distinction,
but
some people don't because, you know, there is a, you know, I think, you know, by definition, there's probably a difference. But I think that, you know, much of the craft work is art. So, you know, and, you know, Tom's been living the craft world for many, many years.
Yeah, Tom, how would you address that? I mean, yeah, you may be able to use it, but it's really high art. You know, we're going to be talking about this glass show. Mm-hmm. When I open up the catalog, which is beautiful, by the way, and people should come to the show just to get the catalog, I look at these works. I'm looking at works of art.
You are. I think the distinction, Mark, I think the easiest one to understand is that the craft mediums, fine craft, works out of tradition. And so while the artist's voice is very contemporary and very content-driven in many, many instances, the materials, the processes, these are things that have been handed down across generations. And that's one of the things that I think is a defining factor and a strength of craft.
But I would argue that painting's the same way. I mean, painting is a tradition of doing. And I think if you talk, and I've interviewed enough artists from who have appeared at your place that they don't even think about the distinction anymore.
Well, I think that argument, art versus craft, is dead. And it was buried a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So let's not even go there. That's another show.
Yeah. Where is it buried?
You know, I think it's over that hill behind us.
Let's talk about this new show because I was just handed the catalog and I was just in awe of the work that's going to be appearing there. It's called New Glass New England. Talk to me about it. Elaine, you want to say something?
Yeah, so Jim Chance is the curator. He's has his own glass studio and gallery up in Southbridge, Mass. And so he is curating the show. He's kind of really connecting with a lot of the artists that he already works with, but then some beyond, and bringing them all together for this really fantastic show, which opens September 26th.
And it runs till?
November 7th.
How many pieces are going to be in the show?
I think there's 34 artists, and Yes, it's a big list.
I saw the list of artists, and it was like a major show.
It's a major show.
Do they just all have one piece?
I believe
some of them have multiple pieces, really, depending on the scale of their work.
How do you... This is going to fit in the Gregorian Gallery?
We're going to try.
That's the installer's challenge.
That's going to be a real challenge. How big is the largest piece? Are some of these really huge?
I think there probably are going to be some one-to-one scale pieces. Yes, some of them will be quite huge, and some of them will be, I think the majority of them will be tabletop scale.
Yeah. Okay. But still, that's a lot for the Gregorian Gallery.
Yes. Gail Scott, who is our head director for the glass studio, is probably putting in one of the largest pieces.
I believe he is, yes.
Yeah.
Now, are there trends in glass work that have emerged in the last decade or so? The more that I've looked at glass work, and that's all been thanks to the Worcester Center for Crafts, by the way, the more I see pieces that first of all, there's a lot of organic looking forms in them, and color has really gotten insane in glass. And is all this just part of the recent developments in glasswork?
I don't think it's recent. I think it's just been very evident lately.
I think a lot of these pieces are pretty abstract too. They're pretty amazing.
You know, the tradition of making fruit and vegetables in glass is a very old
That's an old one.
Yeah. And so, but that has now carried on into, you know, trompe l'oeil of all types and fooling the eye.
But that's not all the work that's in the show.
No, no.
It's an amazing variety of work.
Yeah. I mean, Jim Chance has just put together this wonderful cadre of artists whose work I hope is going to have a very stimulating dialogue within that space. And that's obviously one of the challenges for us and anyone who installs a show is how do you find that conversation that moves the viewer around the room, entices them, draws them in deeper?
Are the artists going to be available? Are any of the artists going to be giving lectures?
Several of them are actually coming to the show, and I don't know about lectures, but you know, Jen Violette, who's one of the artists.
I just saw this handout, and I didn't know what was going on because it looked like vegetables.
Yes.
Totally realistic Trump wild vegetables.
Yes. It'd be very crunchy if you tried to take a bite of these. But so she's going to be doing a workshop the weekend following the opening, which is September 28th and 29th from 9 to 5. So she'll be doing demos. And,
oh, nice.
So you'll be able to go to the new glass studio, which is our glass studio, and go visit Jen.
Have materials changed or evolved at all in glass within the last 30 years, 40 years? I mean, is glass making changed in such a way that it's allowing... When I see glass, the glass works that are in the show, there are shapes, there are forms. There's a whole way that it looks totally different from glass making that I remember from 50 years ago.
And I can only come to this from the jealous position of a ceramicist who works with an opaque
material. Is there hard feelings by the ceramicist? The glass. You can get away with a lot in glass, and everybody goes, "Ooh,
yeah."
And the ceramics guy, it's another bowl.
As an appreciator, what I can say that I see glass artists doing is not being constrained by the material boundaries.
Yeah.
And so they're willing to step out and pull in metal. They're willing to step out and pull in. Electronics. They're willing to, you know, do things with the glass more of a mixed media format and really just use it as the cornerstone for their piece, but not necessarily the central statement of the piece. And I think that's added a lot of vitality to glass.
Right, right.
And I think that's part of what you're seeing there, Mark.
When you saw the show, what did you think about it, Elaine? Because I'm really knocked out just looking at the pieces.
They're stunningly beautiful. And, you know, I always look through, you know, when I see pieces of art, like, would I put that in my house?
Yes.
That's, you know, would I bring that as
my
decor?
Do you own cats? No.
And there's a lot, there's so many pieces that I would love to.
I know.
So, I mean, that's...
And that brings up another thing. Are the pieces all for sale?
Yes.
And that's one of the big differences about shows at the Gregorian Gallery is that the pieces are all for sale. Yes. So that if you see something that you absolutely fall in love with, and chances are you will, in a show like this, you could walk away with that.
Yes.
But you'll still stay in the show to the end.
Yes. Unless Candace Casey says you can take it.
No, she's not going to say that. And the artist agrees.
Typically, our commitment is that the show stays intact. Because, again, we're trying to make that statement.
Right.
And all those components are part of that.
Now, let's talk about the Kraft Center. Now, you're associated with Worcester State University?
Yes.
Is that different from other cultural institutions, too, that you have an association with the university?
Well, it's a partnership, and I think coming into this partnership is I've seen it as such an unbelievable benefit for the whole city of Worcester, because there was a time when the Kraft Center, had some financial issues way back 10 years ago.
Does that just take a whole load off your mind by having that kind of association?
Well, they stepped in recognizing the historical significance and the importance to the community that the Kraft Center offers. And they were able to, provide us with a loan that we just finished paying back, which is amazing. And they provide us with, all their resources of the university. So we're definitely able to utilize the university as a resource for ourselves, but we share space as well.
What does that mean?
So their visual and performing arts departments share our studio spaces. So there's probably half of the studio spaces are for the visual arts students.
Their students take your classes?
They have their own curriculum.
Okay.
And they're able to take our classes, but right now they're not credit classes for the university.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the overall experience at the student level is now you're bringing in, the center has a couple hundred students a week coming through. Now the university has a couple hundred students a week coming through. And so now you have all this creative energy in the building. And that leads to something, whether it's serendipitous or intentional. There's a coalescence of that creativity that is really key to any of these cultural institutions moving forward in the 21st century. Collaboration is at the heart of so much of what so many of us do.
I have to ask you, because I have now hung out at the Kraft Center for so long because of the shows. Is any talk about ever expanding the space? Or is that something you don't want to talk about?
No, I think...
Because I could see you guys moving to some kind of larger... No?
No. Well, there's been a lot of talk. One of the things that Elaine has brought, or one of the visions, I should say, that she's brought, is that our space, our physical footprint, is not much of a... curb appeal. Let's just use that. We're in a changing neighborhood. We had the
you are. There's a right, and that's gone.
It's gone. And we've got a plaza.
Right, so you could have a lot more walk-in.
Yeah, we do, and we want to keep building that, and we want to catch people.
So it is a good space,
and we want it to be a destination. So we think we're in a good location in terms of
what's
going on.
Was the loss of that bus thing like?
Oh, it's night and day.
It is amazing how much the neighborhood has changed around you for the better.
Yeah.
And really benefit you. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like every gallery would want something like that.
And so what we want to do is get our message out there that we're a creative institution. And our historic mid-century 1950s building isn't quite doing that right now. So Elaine has a lot of wonderful vision about where that might go.
And where would that go, Elaine?
Well, we want...
In the best perfect world, where do you see it? Where would you love to see it go?
We want, when people drive by the center, to know that there's art inside, that there's craft inside. And so we want to have a visual change that demonstrates that.
You need something flashier and more enticing on the outside. Yes. I mean, I know that it's the Worcester Center for Crafts and what you have inside, but you need some big doodah.
Yes, and we also, so we're looking to artists to help us with exterior sculpture, some new lighting, some new color. We also want our entrance to be more appealing, and we would love to have some, outdoor seating. So it tells the community,
absolutely,
come inside, there's art inside, but also it's a place.
And you utilize the parking lot a lot, too. There are events that go on. People are outside and stuff like that. You guys really do utilize your space and literally sometimes all the space, when you have the big events and shows that you do, which have now become a tradition.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, the tradition of the center is a deep one.
It is.
And yeah, you know, we love doing our Hot Night event in the summertime.
That's big. Where
we
That's like now become a go-to month. Thing.
It has. And of course, you know, coming up here in the fall, we've got the festival right after Thanksgiving that weekend. So we'll fill that lot with visitors, you know, and
could you use more parking?
More parking? Could the whole city could use more parking, Mark? Of course.
And I think that's the growing problem for Worcester right now is going to be where to park.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not going to get any better.
Yeah, but we've been very fortunate to have the amount of parking we have. And if you haven't visited us, don't
it's
be
really
afraid
one of the,
of parking.
I have to say, as a person who goes there, it's one of the most convenient cultural institutions to visit in the world. Because you just park there and then you just walk in. The Gregorian Gallery is right there. And you can just walk through the door and go and see the show. I love it. I think it's just fantastic. Yeah, yes. It's going to be a tough thing to improve on. But yes. What other vision do you have?
So we have a lobby space right now that yeah. sometimes we utilize for the Pottery Invitational. Right. But most times it's kind of just a walkthrough.
Yeah.
And we would like to create that to be a community space. So people come in, they feel welcome, they can shop in our gallery store, they can visit the gallery, they can go through our brochures and look at what we have to offer. But there'll be a place for the community to, you know, gather and talk about what's happening and make some plans at the center. And then we have a hallway as well that is just basically...
That long hallway?
Yeah. Yeah. And we'd like to create that into a community art gallery with the kind of the vision being that now we can start working with the schools and the children and having schools come in and do shows in a public space alongside professional artists in the art gallery, and they can see professional artists in their studios working. So I think just to grow interest in craft, bringing children in, bringing schools in, and providing that experience for them is something we're interested in doing.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guests in studio today are Elaine McKenna Yaw, Executive Director of the Worcester Center for Crafts, and Tom O'Malley, always a pleasure to talk to him, Ceramics and Photography Department Head at the Worcester Center for Crafts. We've been talking about the New Glass New England show, which just, again, looking at the catalog is just going to be a stunning show. As a person who doesn't do glass art and doesn't have to hang glass art, is there a special tension about hanging glass shows? Because, okay, I'm very klutzy. Okay, and I'm just telling that right now. And I look at the pieces here and I go, oh my God, I don't even want to go near them.
Yes. I mean, I think that, of course.
Did you feel that, Elaine?
Yes, of course. These are, you know, pieces that are so special. And
they are.
We want to protect them.
But, you know, I mean, wood sculptures are like, yeah. And it's, but what? And it, ceramics has got its own problems too. But yes. Glass has got to be the ultimate, like. That is true, Tom.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, today's drop-off day for many of the artists.
See, as soon as you say the word drop.
So we're trying to prevent the drop part. And so actually that's why Candace Casey, our gallery director, is not able to be here, because she's wanting to personally oversee that all that work arrives safe and sound and then is handled properly as it comes in.
I think hanging a show like this is always one of the biggest challenges, where you have so many different takes, so many different colors, so many different forms. Mm-hmm. Having that work within the gallery, and that's one of the things I've always been amazed. You so far, you knock on Formica. You guys have really done an outstanding job of hanging shows, and then to the listener, that may not seem like a big deal. It is. It's a huge deal to make a show work. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Mark. I think that's credit to Candace Casey, our gallery director. She has a vision, and it takes sometimes a couple days once
the
work's uncreated.
People don't understand that what goes on behind the scenes. Yeah. You have to switch things all the time.
Everything gets switched at least three times in any show, and I've helped Candy install a couple times and learned a great deal from her about how to look for that dialogue between the work and then also leave space that the visitor can have a voice in what's going on.
Right.
And there's a real talent to that. And
right. The visitor, especially with three-dimensional pieces, mm-hmm. they need to walk around. They need to be able to have a private conversation about the work and see it. Lighting also seems to be a huge deal with glass works.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we're always thinking about that in any show, and probably even more so with the glass show. Mm-hmm. I think they might have had to get a couple more cans for the mm-hmm. track lighting for this one.
So it's up to when?
November 7th.
Yeah, November 7th.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I want to run through the calendar for the Worcester Center for Crafts, because first of all, you guys have some standard things that are always going to occur, and people need to put them on their calendar, because I'll tell you, especially with the holiday show and the ceramic show and the hot time in the city, mm-hmm. those things get mobbed. Mm-hmm. So what is the calendar? What's the fixed calendar of the Worcester Center?
So, I mean, the fixed, the big
the things that
shows,
are always going to occur
yeah.
no matter
so
what.
So the holiday show is a big deal.
It's huge.
It's going to be my first year at the show.
I'm oh, God. Excited. And it's like literally where people really do go and pick up that special yes. thing that you want to give to somebody special.
Yeah, so the day after Thanksgiving and through that weekend is
oh my God.
When we invite everybody to come. And, you know, there's artisans from all over coming. So the whole entire building will be filled with artisans. And
like, how many artisans are there? It's an enormous number.
Yeah, that show brings in over 60 artists.
Yikes!
From around the region.
And there's always something you're going to find that you're going to love.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm not just saying that because I like you guys, but I actually have gone there and there's like things that like, wow.
You're yeah. going to find something you didn't think you were going to find.
That's
right?
it. Isn't That's that exactly it? Right. That's yeah. exactly right. The things that you're not thinking of that you want to find that special gift.
So, you know, speaking of collaboration, and if you're itching to buy those gifts before November, we have our collaboration, the American Craft Fair with Tower Hill Botanical Garden.
Oh, wow.
And that's the weekend of October 19th and 20th.
Now, what's that
going to
be?
Hill. Well, it's sort of a small...
Have you done this before?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've been doing it now for probably 5 or 6 years up at Tower Hill. And we bring in some of the people who work with us in November, but you may actually see very different work. As well as new artisans. And this show, I think, is about 30. It's about half the size, but it's up in those in that beautiful location
oh, yeah,
of Tower Hill. So that's coming right up at the
end. It's
of
also going to be at the peak of fall,
yeah.
fall foliage. Sweet. You guys are really living the high life. Yeah. Okay. So you're up on Tower Hill. It's fall foliage and there's art. And oh, man. Okay.
You know, that's part of, you know, this is all about quality of life mm-hmm. for
I guess
so many
so.
Ways, right? And then, of course, there's the annual cup show that will
I love
happen
that show.
Right after the craft fair in December.
Now,
so,
you can't just say that. You have to describe it.
Well, okay. If you want to walk into a gallery filled with over 100 cups of all types,
and
not just ceramic, but glass,
right.
metal, and other mediums, it's open to the artist to interpret what a cup may be. and, you know, find one that's going to be perfect for gift giving. Or maybe 6 or 10, and some people do. This is the show, and you have
this
to keep
is the place to
back.
Find that for your coffee.
Yes,
in the morning, that's going to be that special. This is my cup.
Yeah,
that's the show.
Yeah, if you are like the 16-ouncer,
yeah,
you're
going to yeah,
find
yeah,
a
yeah.
cup that can handle that. Or if you like your little espresso shot, you'll find the cup that can handle that.
And it's amazing what forms come out and color and ideas come out of that show. And I love ideas like that where there's a single thought. And then you just let the artist go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's like perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's where the, you know, that unifying factor creates the harmony, but then the individuality
creates
is
the dissonance.
The dissonance and the creative differences. And we all get pulled in by things that are different, right? We want to stand out in one way or another.
Now, are there always new artists in shows like that? Like, how often do you reach out to new artists?
I think that's a constant. You know, Candy's work at the center is not only the gallery and our special programs, but it's artist relationships. And so she is actually, as she says, she will hunt them down, stalk them. If she sees something
with
that catches
hands.
Her eye and speaks to her, she'll find that artist.
So she's constantly shopping around in different
Absolutely.
Arts. Now, does it always have to be from New England?
No, you know, it is always American, but
okay.
we represent artists from across the country.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So then after the cup show is going to be, we've got to be working up to the big holiday show, right?
Well, the cup show is sort of the big holiday. The cup show comes after the festival and it takes us through the holidays and then we're into the new year. Which
we have a couple of shows in the gallery. We have we're doing a show with Holy Cross and Raw, which is the Refugee Artists of Worcester. So that's coming up.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I believe that's in like March. But then the big annual show after that is the Pottery Invitational.
And that's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, always new artists in that?
Well, you know, that show we hand the reins of curatorial direction to two potters from outside of the center because we want that insight that people looking in bring. And so this year it's Doug Peltzman and, oh gosh, I'm blanking. I have one of her pots on my counter, but that show is the first weekend in May and it will bring in 18 to 22 potters from around the country. They're currently in the process of recruiting and curating, as we speak.
Now you're still maintaining, you're going to still show photography, paintings, and everything else.
I mean, we just are coming off a wonderful street photography show by Scott Erb and Uday Kumbadkone. And they are doing a workshop this weekend called Life as It Happens, Hitting the Streets of Boston. And they have an amazing photo walk plan, and we still have room in that workshop. So if you're interested in the photo, go for that.
Now, we're almost completely out of time. Let's remind people about the New Glass New England show. It opens
September 26th.
And is open till
November 7th.
What are the gallery hours?
The gallery is open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. And all this information is on our website.
Which is?
WorcesterCraftCenter.org.
Is that all one word?
All one word.
WorcesterCraftCenter.org. And there's so much going on there that you really sort of need to go to the website, I think, in order to figure out what's going to happen that week. But again, the great thing is it's a lot of stuff for you also to bring home. And that's what I always love about shows. And that's what I love about that Cup show, too. You've been listening to WICM. My guests in studio are Elaine McKenna, Yaw, Executive Director of the Worcester Center for Crafts, and good old Tom O'Malley, Ceramics and Photography Department Head. Both of you, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you so much for having us. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Mark. It's always a pleasure. You're listening to WICM 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.